Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Before we get into the podcast today, just want to give everybody a reminder about the UK Investor Magazine virtual conference, which is coming up on the 15th of December. There will be a link in the notes to this podcast for everyone to sign up. It's obviously a virtual one, be taking place at 10 a.m. and we're going to be having a number of listed companies presenting, as well as a few interesting keynote speeches looking at the investment arena going forward into 2020. So for today's podcast, we're very kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Hi, Jonathan. Good to be back.
So we as usual, have a number of stocks that we're going to be discussing. However, Alan, let's just look very briefly at the overall markets, because we're recording this podcast shortly after we've just got the news that the Pfizer vaccine is going to be rolled out in the UK from next week. But we're seeing a relatively muted reaction in markets. I mean, we're seeing a bit of positivity in the FTSE 100, but nothing major there. I would make the argument that to some extent the good news has already been priced in to markets. And we're now going to be looking at a situation where people are starting to assess the devastation on the UK economy and indeed on the global economy. And that's going to be the next phase in this COVID story. I mean, in your opinion, Alan, when you're looking at markets, what degree of caution do you think people should put towards looking at equities, given the rally that we've had coming into the vaccine? And could we see a buy the rumour, sell the fact set up as vaccines are rolled out more widely across the globe?
Yeah, I think there's a cocktail, if you'll excuse the pun, a cocktail of data and news that's you know driving and it's driving and it's holding the indices back at the moment. But of course, we are coming up to that historically this time of year we come up to what is referred to as the Santa rally period. So you could argue that there may be a small element of that, but clearly the news we've had this week from the old-fashioned retailers like Debenhams and Arcadia really have sounded in many ways the death knell for the high street. And I think investors are going to be looking at some of the other major chains out there, such as Marks and Spencer, and wondering how much longer Marks and Spencer can retain its broad spread of stores and property portfolios. Having said that, on the property front, we also had the news from Nationwide that house prices have risen 6.1% this year, which is quite astonishing, you know, considering that the country has been in lockdown, commercial property has effectively ceased to function. But of course, we have seen this migration from city dwellers moving out to the country. And indeed, where I live in Seaford, Seaford has been picked out by a number of press articles in recent weeks as being one of the most desirable places to live due to its accessibility to the city. The fact is by the coast, and we've got wonderful downland and all the rest of it. But I'm not advertising living in Seaford. Clearly, I'm quite happy that we don't have too many more people coming down here. But nonetheless, it's starting to impact. We may see a modicum of a Santa rally in the next few weeks. But there's going to be some pain in the new year. The Chancellor has already said, Rishi Sunak has already said that the economy is very much in emergency mode at the moment, and the key really is getting people back to work and getting movement underway again. So in order to do that, yep, great, we've got the vaccine, but people can still carry it around through travel. So we then need something we then need effective testing. Whether you get on a train, whether you get on an aircraft, whatever, we need effective rapid testing and also an efficient way to store that person's data. So when the person gets to where they're going or they travel, then they can present their case to the authorities at the other end. So yeah, I think we've gone as far as we're going to go for now. We may see a bit more of a pop up in the run up to Christmas, but I think the new year, I think January is going to be a challenging period.
So I mean, we were discussing just before we started recording, Alan, the big changes and big shifts in working in environments. Of course, people have been working from home. There's been the expectation from the hospitality sector that people, as soon as the lockdowns are lifted, they're going to be going back out to the pubs and cafes and such like. Indeed, I mean, I think that will be happening in the evening, hospitalities for leisure. But when you're looking at the sort of working environment and the businesses that rely on that, so, sort of coffee places, particularly around the city and, of course, in the wider UK, do you think that there is a bit of an underestimation in the market's thinking in terms of what it's going to look like in terms of the resetting of the UK economy going forward, that we're not just going to see this vaccine as a golden bullet and everything goes back to normal? Indeed, some of the businesses that have been looking forward to a vaccine aren't actually going to see any benefit from it and ultimately are going to go to the wall. And is there going to be a level of economic fallout, do you think, that hasn't been properly priced in yet?
Well, I think the difference probably this time around is that as opposed to other major events in history, the level of government support, both for individuals and businesses, is unprecedented by any standards. And the government has announced this week, of course, in the tier three areas throughout the UK, that it will provide additional support for the leisure industry. The hospitality venues such as pubs and clubs. It will now get additional support. So we've got a government that's certainly listening and responding to businesses, and this support will continue. But there are some companies that for whom that's come too late, and I know personally some businesses in the hospitality sector that have basically gone into liquidation as a result of these measures. So there is going to be pain, but I think that will be mitigated to some degree by government support. So I think the index, I think there will be some downward movement and some retesting of lows come the new year, but I don't think it'll be a catastrophic fall off a cliff scenario such as we had back in March 2020.
Indeed. I mean, I'm just looking here at the FTSE 350 and the best performers since the first news of a vaccine near the beginning of November, and we're looking at Cineworld up over 120%.
Yeah.
SSP Group, the catering group, up about 90%. EasyJet and TUI Travel, both up just over 60%. Of course, Rolls-Royce involved in that industry, also up 60%. So there has been a big move back into the travel and leisure sector. So I think this is going to be a particularly interesting sector in Q1 of 2020 to see how that plays out. But that, I think this moves us quite nicely into the stocks that we're going to be discussing today, Alan. And the first one that I'd like to touch on is Eddie Stobart, because that has a big relationship with the health of the UK economy. So what's the latest that's been happening at Eddie Stobart?
Well, Eddie Stobart has had quite a couple of years, really, as a corporate entity. We've spoken about them on several occasions. So Eddie Stobart Limited, ESL, the group, owns, obviously, the iconic truck fleet that we see on the roads, and you can buy as these model lorries and so on. It owns the supply chain management group iForce, recruitment company Logistics People, and also the courier company Speedy Freight. So it's an entity that has a broad spread of risk. Now there were some major financial restructuring events that took place at the end of 2019. An accounting hole was revealed. Long story short, the company needed to raise money. A group called DBay Advisors came in, injected 70 million at what was then roughly the equivalent of 32p in the share price. Shares are trading currently at 9.5p, been as high as they've been trading sort of as high as 14 pence on the year, but we're trading much higher than that prior to the event. In fact, as high as a pound. So DBay came in, invested the money, and the company was effectively divided in two. The PLC became a cash shell, and a company was set up to continue running the business entity, which was largely owned by DBay Advisors, in order to keep the business going. And keep going they did. In fact, during the year, their trading has improved dramatically. The company bought in Adrian Collins, a finance veteran who's well known around the city, and been acted as chairman and FD on for a number of well-known companies. He's been responsible for the restructuring of the group going forward. The company's also acquired the rights to the Eddie Stobart brand name, which of course was formerly owned by Stobart Group, the other listed entity that was the two were separated some years back. And then we came to October, where the company announced results, half-year results, and it was revealed that the group had generated £416 million sterling, a fall of 1.1%, but underlying EBITDA had risen 363% to £16.5 million. So this was driven by strong demand, and bearing in mind that Eddie Stobart's are the they provide the logistics and transport to Tesco's and a raft of other major brand names throughout the UK. This has continued, and obviously with the lockdown, it has, if anything, grown. The company's also shed loss-making contracts, and it's also initiated pay down of this debt mountain, which stands at £242 million. And it's also repaying loan notes. And during the period, I mentioned the other brand names, it's also won new contracts with McBride, Morrisons, Nike, Amazon, and so on. And all of the companies within the group, iForce, Logistics People, have also contributed to the growth of the company. Company's forecasting EBITDA of at least £33 million on the year, and the share price popped back up the other day to about 14p, and the company announced that it's in the process of a small fundraise of £6 million, and that will basically turn Eddie Stobart Limited, Eddie Stobart PLC, the cash shell, into an investing company. They got until 9th of December to do that. So once they do that, then I think we'll see the group continue to grow and continue to pay down debt and return to its former glories.
Interesting. So, I mean, with this company, Alan, I mean, do you think as the UK economy starts to improve that people will see the value in Eddie Stobart, or do you think it's a company that people should be looking at? You know, okay, the economy may improve, but it's one that they should be paying more attention to what the company is doing internally to see that the value there.
Yeah, I think your logistics companies like this, established ones, have always been good investments. We've seen other companies around. Obviously, Wincanton, who were going to buy Stobarts, that's a well run entity. Although you know the margins are slim, but I think with Stobarts, it's been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons because of this restructuring and the debt mountain that was revealed. But having said that, you know, this is a great brand name. And I think it's given the group the opportunity to undertake this restructuring. It's shed loss-making contracts. Operating cash flow is now positive. And bear in mind, this is a company that on the year is going to turn over some 830, 840 million sterling. Now, that's between the two. So you've got White Star Acquisitions, which, of course, the company is set up by DBA Advisors that owns 51% of the entity. Eddie Stobart PLC owns 49%. So when Eddie Stobart PLC becomes an investing company again, one assumes that it will invest back into the business, and how the structure will be after that remains to be seen. But nonetheless, if you take the two, there's a combined market cap of about 70 million sterling there. Now, this is a company that was valued at way, way beyond that, getting on for $1 billion, in fact, about a year and a half ago. So I think with the restructuring that's taken place, with the new contract wins, we are going to see this company grow and return to its former glory. So I think it offers a speculative but potentially high return investment opportunity.
Indeed, and certainly one to watch in 2021. So moving on now, Alan, we're going to be looking at a gold company here, gold and zinc. But just touching on gold briefly, we've been discussing the impact of the vaccine on equity markets. We have, of course, seen a very strong rally in gold throughout 2020. But since the news of the vaccine has come out, that risk elements and people buying gold for a safe haven has decreased to some extent, and we've seen gold fall off from just shy of 2100 down to just above 1800 at this point in time. Do you think that the gold story and the gold rally is now done for 2020?
No, I think it's the opposite, and there's a very good reason for that, and we've seen. We've seen various reports and various sort of market pundits taking the view that the market for the bull market is over. But my opinion, and again, it is my opinion, but certainly it's the opinion of many other very experienced markets analysts in the sector, is that the bill from COVID, I mean, it's estimated to be some $28 trillion globally. So that's going to have the net effect. And of course, that's just at present. And Rishi Sunak, our Chancellor, mentioned just now that he said that the economy is in emergency mode. And I've no doubt there will be further requirements to provide some financial support for the leisure industry that hasn't previously been budgeted. So if you multiply that out across the world, I think this bill is going to rise. And of course, effectively, governments have to print money to pay for this. So that has the net effect of devaluing fiat currency. And that process simply adds to the value of gold, and I might add other commodities too. I mean, there was commentary from US investment group Energy and Capital that referred to the value of the US dollar. It's being weakened every day. There's nothing that the Federal Reserve or politicians can do to stop it, which will continue to have a tremendous effect, driving gold prices and the gold market in general higher. So, and that was also TD Securities said that the driver of investment flows into precious metals has been sourced from a powerful impulse lower in interest rates. The US Fed's continued attempt to spark higher inflation expectations will continue to suppress real rates deeper into negative territory, and this will continue to drive appetite for precious metals. And quite simply, that That's the underlying factor. We'll get short-term blips, no doubt, but the underlying issue is low interest rates and an effective devaluation in fiat currency.
Fantastic. So moving on now to the company that we're going to be discussing now is Arkle Resources. And one that I think I'll just point out that for a company that's in the exploration stage, which Arkle very much is, the price of gold, I feel, doesn't have too much of an impact on these companies. And whether it goes up to 1600 or goes down to 1600 next or up to 2000, it's the projects that these companies are working on and the discoveries and the resources that they find is the most important thing. So what's been happening at Arkle recently, Alan?
Okay, so Arkle Resources has gradually crept up in value over the past few months. Currently got a valuation of 3.3 million. Shares trading 1.1p, have been as high as 1.6p and as low as 0.4p. So this is the former Connemara Mining, which was rebranded back in March this year to Arkle Resources. And they they're focused on Ireland on primarily three key projects. The key project is their zinc project. And this is the Stone Park zinc project discovered in 2007 in County Limerick. And the discovery of Stone Park is adjacent to the Palace Green zinc mine, which is owned by Glencore. Now, the Stone Park asset is 76% owned by a TSX listed company called Group 11, and Arkle Resources own the remaining 23.4% of the asset. There's a maiden inferred resource of 5.1 million tons of lead and zinc, grading of 11.3% zinc. But what's really driven the share price is the increase or the fact that Glencore has been gradually increasing its shareholding in Group 11 and now owns 26% of the company. So clearly, for a company like Glencore, it's got the Palace Green asset. Stone Park is adjacent to it, so it's almost a plug-and-play solution for them. So I think the share price of Arkle will continue to be strong on the back of that. And of course, any news in that direction will drive it higher. It also has zinc projects in Oldcastle, Cavan and Meath, and County Leash, the Derrycairn project, and also a project in West Cork. And the West Cork project is basically base metals, including lead and silver. So these have these are projects owned by the group. There's not been a great deal of progress in those this year, but there has been some developments at the other projects, which I'm coming on to now. So we then come on to the Mine River project, which is a gold project in Wicklow in Ireland that entails eight licenses across a 15-kilometer section. The company has undertaken drilling at the Tom Breen prospect, and they've discovered the best sample from there was 21 grams per ton with another sample of 4.5 grams per ton. And Wednesday last week, the company announced it had discovered another gold-bearing vein at Mine River. Group had undertaken some trenching work at Mine River, and they discovered visible gold mineralization during this trenching process. And this is some 750 meters from the Tom Breen drill holes, and they've already sampled from this new new gold bearing vein, 5.5 grams per ton. So again, the Mine River prospect is really starting to yield up some decent grades of gold. There is also the Inishowen gold project, which is in northern Donegal, this is the Mina prospect, which includes Inishowen. Arkle was the first to drill in this area, and one sample from the prospect there was as high as 74 grams per ton. And again, there's been progress on in show and this year. In undertaking some more field work, they undiscovered a new prospective area to the southwest of this prospect. The company intend to commence drilling by the year end following the discovery of strong gold indicators. So again, there's a great cross section of projects here. So you've got the exploration or the speculative end of the company assets, which are Inishowen and Mine River, with developing the gold assets. And then we have really the valuation asset that underscores the growth in Arkell, which is the Stonebridge or the Stone Park project, which it owns 23.4% with Group 11. Of course, that's adjacent to the Palace Green asset owned by Glencore. So 3.3 million, I think at this level, there's everything to play for. And we could well see a very strong 2021 from this little company.
Yes, indeed, and very interesting. They're one that we have discussed on the podcast previously, and I'm sure one that we will update listeners with as soon as they produce some more updates on their projects there. So to finish off now, and again, this is one that we have discussed before, but they've recently gone through a rebrand. It was formerly Two Shields, now Brand Shield. What else has been happening behind the scenes apart from the rebrand?
Okay, so it's less of a rebrand, more of a restructuring. So I'll just summarize what the group is about, because they have a number of assets. So firstly, about Brand Shield Cybersecurity. So this is run by it has a group of Israeli directors, Yoav Keren, the CEO, and the chairman is a guy called Azrael or Uzi Moscovici, who is a technology veteran. He's worked in cybersecurity in Tel Aviv. Was also a major general in the Israeli Defense Forces Cyber Defense and IT Directorate. So these are guys, and I think it's fair to say that. That Israeli tech is some of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. These guys are absolutely at the cutting edge. So Brand Shield itself was developed as an IT company to fight the problem of fraudulent activity online, phishing, and so on. The company have noted a surge in fraudulent activity in a raft of sectors: pharmaceuticals, medical, banking, foreign exchange, loans, gambling, deliveries, etc. But also during the COVID crisis, there's been a real surge in fraudulent activity, selling fake medicines for COVID, fake testing for COVID, and so on. And on September 17th, Brand Shield announced a contract with the Pharma Security Institute to put their skill sets to work to battle this. So the great thing is, of course, they have these contracts. They have recurring revenue contracts, they announced in June they'd already neutralized over 150 phishing websites targeting the Levi Strauss brand. Corona. They said themselves that coronavirus is really a coming of age for scammers and con artists. So such is the strength of growth in the business that the company effectively. Two Shields Investments has evolved into Brand Shield. So it's rebranded from Two Shields into Brand Shield. But it also retains a lot of the historical assets owned by the group. And this is important for a number of reasons. The company, I'm just picking up the... So Brand Shield offers end-to-end digital protection, but it also has an e-commerce arm called WeShop, which the group owns 10% of, WeShop raised 9 million back in August via a convertible loan note to further develop the e-commerce solution, and of course utilizing the Brand Shield offering within that. And Yoav Keren, the CEO of Brand Shield, was also appointed to the board at that stage. The company has a stake in Global Geosciences. It also has a stake in Kalahari, the Kalahari Key Mineral asset in Botswana. Owns 17.8% of that, and also 4% of Power Metal Resources. And of course, when I've discussed Power Metal Resources, we have discussed that asset. So this asset is rising in value. And the group said that the Two Shields legacy investment portfolio would be retained going forward. And although there's no obligation to continue funding the assets, they may be disposed over time as the board sees fit. So as a result of the financial restructuring, we now see Brand Shield trading at 22p and with a market cap of 23 million. Clearly the company is very much of its time in having the market leading solution globally to fight phishing and to fight online fraudulent activity.
So just going back, Alan, very quickly to their legacy assets there. I mean, do you think now that Brand Shield is done with the mining side of things, obviously it's going to hold on to the investments for now, but is this now a company that's just going to be focused on the Brand Shield brand and products and the mining side of things is something that's very much in their past?
I don't think it's in the past. I mean, they state clearly in the RNS that they're retaining the legacy assets going forward. I would expect that if an opportunity arises to sell those, then it will do that. But clearly, Brand Shield is now the growth company going forward. This is the growth entity per se. The chairman, Andrew Lawley, has been retained from Two Shields, so that remains going forward. But clearly, I'm looking at Brand Shield as a company. If it's looking to grow or it's looking to make acquisitions, it's got assets within the group that it can sell in order to fund those acquisitions. The board have said that they will sell those if the opportunity arises or if it's deemed suitable to do so. I think we'll just see how the company goes. I would expect them to offload the non-core assets going forward.
Fantastic. So again, an interesting company there to watch in 2021 as it pushes forwards with its new chosen line of business. So just as a recap there, the stocks that were discussed today were Arkle Resources with the ticker of ARK, Eddie Stobart, ticker ESL, and the newly rebranded and restructured, and I think we probably didn't mention it, but it was done via way of a reverse takeover there, and there's been a admission to the AIM there, but the new ticker there is BRSD. So Alan, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So just as a reminder, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, the 15th of December, we have the next UK Investor Magazine virtual conference, and you'll be able to sign up to that in the notes of this podcast. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.